Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Stanton.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are. Why is Dan Mullen here? Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Whatever your business is, printing plays a huge role in it. Every business uses a great printing service, but why not use the best? That's Pip Printing and Signs, 30 years of experience. Check out their website, pipridgeland.com. They show you everything that they can do for your business. The list is long and distinguished. Then you call Cam Baker and say, hey, I heard about you on Thunder and Lightning. Let's give this a work. And they are going to put together a plan for you that's going to keep customers coming in the door for a long, long time. And don't forget, if you're a Mississippi State fan, hey, 10% of your sale with Pitt Printing and Signs goes directly to the Bulldog Initiative if you tell them, hey, heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. So call them today. You help out your own business. You help out Mississippi State. It's a win-win for everybody. Pitt Printing and Signs, 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And I know that you're looking for it. You need to get new gear. You need the logos that we're all wearing right now, the state script, the interlocking, the M over S. The place to get them is College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best place in town is Restaurant Tyler. I need to get back to Restaurant Tyler for lunch because it's the best lunch in town. I love a blue plate. I love fried catfish, fried chicken. They just have my favorite stuff. So I'm going to go back there very soon and eat that. And I would encourage you to do the same. So when you're thinking lunch here in Starkville, the best place to go is Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only where those locations are, but they're going to show you how Priority One Bank will help you manage your money, help you invest, help you plan for the future. Now more than ever, it's so important to be able to talk to somebody about your money when you need to. You don't want to have to wait around. When you've got questions, you need answers. Priority One Bank offers that level of service that you can't get at those corporate banks who don't know you from anybody else. Give Priority One Bank your business, and you will not regret it. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Bobby Falk is in Birmingham, Alabama. Are you technically in Birmingham or are you in a suburb? Aren't you in Mountain Brook?
Right now, I'm in Hoover.
You're in Hoover right this second?
Yes, that's where I'm staying in my hotel.
It's too early for Hoover. We don't
know
Hoover until May.
Well, here's the thing. Hoover has now become it's kind of grown out of just baseball. We have SEC Media Days a lot of the times is here for football.
Yeah.
Mountain Brook hosts basketball. Mountain Brook is about 10 minutes away from where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And then you got baseball. So Hoover's kind of becoming, or Birmingham, I guess you can say, a centralized location for all sports, which, I mean, makes sense because that's where the SEC is located. But really nice. The Mountain Brook area is super nice. I don't know if you've ever been.
I have been. I went to Media Days a few years ago. Yeah, and it's just really nice. So we'll talk a lot more hoops on tomorrow's show when after Robbie wraps up day two at SEC Media Days with the women. He talked to Coach Jans and Cam Matthews and Josh Hubbard today. I definitely suggest you go over to On3 to check out his coverage and his YouTube channel as well to hear those interviews with MSU basketball. But Today is Wednesday. That means it is a Rumblings Day. The Rumblings, of course, are brought to you by the good folks over at Superior Catfish. Go to store.superiorcatfish.com and you can have Superior Catfish delivered right to your door. You can enjoy the best fried catfish that you can get. Mississippi farm-raised catfish is always going to be better than anybody else's, and Superior Catfish is the best of the bunch. Also, you can buy their awesome breadings and seasonings there as well for a full fish fry experience. Store.superiorcatfish.com, because there's catfish, and then there's Superior Catfish. Go for some catfish now. I've talked myself into it. I may have to.
Well, the other morning, we're driving to church, and my wife goes, you know, I really want Superior Catfish. Like, I just have a hankering for it. Can we please go to somewhere in Starkville that's got Superior Catfish? And we just went to Little Dewey a couple weeks ago and had some. Mm-hmm. I said, let's go to Obie's today and let's bounce around a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it was delicious. I had some of it. It was really good.
Well, there you go. There you go. I encourage people here in Starkville to visit those two restaurants because those are the two places to get Superior Catfish. All right. You know the drill. You ask the questions. We will try and answer them. That's the one thing I didn't do here, Robbie, was get ahead of this one. And there it is. All right, here we go. Starting off with who else? Colton Watson. Do we think, if you had to call it one way or the other, do you think Ole Miss rallies or checks out moving forward? Well, they may not check out so much, Robbie, but I think that they have losses coming.
Yes. I don't really know what to expect. You know, we both predicted them to beat South Carolina, but I thought that was the possibility to start to see things unravel. I think the real test is going to be when they have virtually nothing else to play for, you know, as far as the playoffs are concerned. When they lose their third game and it looks like it's completely over at that point, are they going to be able to hold it together? We already saw, you know, I don't know if Key Lawrence is just opting out or redshirting or whatever, but that's kind of the first guy that we've seen that's kind of checking out this season. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if he was kicked off the team or what, but, you know, that it appears he's sitting out now. We saw Amos yesterday was tweeting like a sad emoji picture of himself, whatever. Wouldn't shock me to see something happen with him. That's going to be the real test. When they lose like their next game, that's what I want. I want to see what happens there. So we'll see how they answer here next week against Oklahoma. Is that who they play next?
Yes, they're off this week and then Oklahoma the week of the 26th.
You know, if they come out sleepwalking in that game and somehow lose it, which I don't think they will, but if they do, oof.
Yeah, that would be a problem, especially as bad as Oklahoma's been this year. State's defense has been historically bad from a yardage standpoint the last two games, but to keep things from getting too out of hand with turnovers. Are those lucky plays, or do they deserve credit for at least making something happen once every dozen plays or so? You know, if you can't make stops, you should at least force turnovers. I mean, but at the same time, you can't predict, you can't coach to get turnovers, if that makes sense. Like, turnovers just happen. They're mistakes. Sometimes they're as much on the offense as something that you did good. Like, I thought the Diego Brumfield's interception, by the way, welcome to the field, Diego Brumfield.
Yeah, could have used him the first few games. He just throws that ball right at him.
I mean, there's nothing. Yeah, you know, that's not anything. He did anything special there. He just made the play when it was made available to him. So,
The first pick to apparently we've been calling him the wrong name is Pollock. Apparently, Bryce.
That's offensive. Pollock. You can't say that.
We've been calling Pollock the whole time. But
hold up. His name is Bryce Pollock.
I believe that's correct.
I'm almost about to cuss. Are you me right now?
He actually came out and clarified it. Pollock is how his name is pronounced.
This is 10 times worse than when it became Keyshawn Booty.
Yeah. So When I heard that the other day, I was like, hold on, that sounds a little iffy for me. And they kept saying it on the broadcast. And this isn't the first time they've said that on the broadcast, is that they were doing it on another broadcast too, and they just kept doing it. And I thought, they're saying his name wrong. And then he came out on Twitter and said, my name is actually pronounced like Polak.
I had no idea.
Yes.
Well, I'll be damned. All right.
So this whole time we've been calling him Bryce Pollock, and
Well,
it's
yeah, that's
Polak.
how that word is pronounced when it's spelled that way, like the fish.
I thought the same, but he would know more than anyone because it's his name.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. As a guy who has a last name that is mispronounced very often, I get it. So I'm just.
Mr. Haddad.
Oh man, I had it today. I've had somebody call me from a doctor's office. Like, Mr. Haddad. I was like, close enough. Right, last one. Can improved health, increased experience, and playing teams not ranked in the top five allow State's defense to improve to something like mediocre instead of putrid? Or are they going to have to score 40 to have a chance in any game from now through November? I mean, they played Florida and gave up 45 points. They played Toledo and gave up 41. What do you want?
Yeah, it's you're probably gonna have to score 40
Let's score 40.
plus. I mean, it's just this defense is it's not gonna get I don't think it's gonna get much better from a production standpoint. They might do some things better, but they're still I mean, the other day I thought they played fairly well, especially in the first half defensively. And they got 41 and 600 yards.
CJ Lunsford, would it be more fun for Ole Miss's season to completely fall apart or for them to be a borderline playoff 9-2 team and we beat them in the Egg Bowl? So in that scenario, the second scenario, they've beaten Georgia. They don't lose again until the Egg Bowl and then State knocks them out.
In that scenario, they're in the playoffs.
9-3?
No. Like they're going into
Oh
that
yeah, they
game,
would
they're in
be
the
in at
playoffs.
9-2. Yeah, at that point they would be in the projections.
And man, I don't know. Like I'm starting to think like three losses is possible, and that maybe not for them,
Not for them. For Georgia,
but for Georgia or Alabama or Tennessee even. They probably got a better shot, but like losing to Kentucky, I think is going to keep Ole Miss out. But I think three losses, like the way that things have gone at this point, there's just so much anarchy at this point in college football. I think three losses could get you in.
yeah. The other thing. When you talk about Ole Miss's season's falling apart, does State beat them in that scenario too, or are they like 7-5, but they beat State? Because if that's the case, either way, they're out of the playoff in this. I'd rather have the Egg Bowl win.
In them falling apart, like them being like having four or five losses.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Are they 7-5, but they beat State, or are they
Yeah,
9-3, but they lose to State? If that's the case, I'll take the Egg Bowl win.
I think what he's saying is like he's predicting State to win,
Either
like in
way.
this scenario, regardless. Would you
Okay.
rather it be devastating fashion, they're missing the playoffs, or they're just complete
I would
disaster?
rather them roll into the Egg Bowl like 6-5
Yes.
and just ready to quit. That's what I would
You
rather.
have 9 wins at that point and still a 9-win team, and you've probably won three or four games. Like
Yeah.
you would rather them be completely disastrous and they're about to blow everything up
Yeah.
and you beat them than them still having a season where they could win 10 games.
Andrew Madden, besides Barstool and the SEC, where can you shove another person maliciously and not get into major trouble? I'm going to shove you the next time I see you. How about that?
I do that to you all the time.
You do shove me. You're a
We're
shover.
very physical
Yeah.
podcasting couple.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So.
The more I think about this Kirby Smart thing, like it doesn't bother me that he came in there like that and was like just pushing people out of the way, because I've been around that before on the sideline, like a coach just running up and down the sidelines, like trampling over people, pushing them out of the way. Like coaches are frantic in those situations. I'm not concerned about that. It was really weird that he would not just come out and say until Monday, hey, if I did do it, it was not malicious or there was nothing to it. I apologize to Michael Van Buren. It had nothing to do with him. He
Yeah.
was just a guy standing in the way when I ran through. Why is that not what you say on Saturday night?
Yeah.
Like
Also,
he
the
just came out
official
and was
is
just
right
like,
in front of him. How does the official not throw a flag there? Go, hey, you just hit that player.
Yeah, or talk it over with him, like, hey, what are you doing? Like, and the whole he recounted the entire event, and then said, but I don't remember doing that.
He was like,
I think that was the play where I was running up and I was talking to Glenn Schumann and, you know, I was frantic or whatever. And then he goes, but I don't remember it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just.
That's BS. Like, just come out and say, hey, it was an accident.
I screwed up.
That's the only thing that bothered me is like, you just lied like you do everything else.
Ozzy asked us, this is a great question. It's right up your alley, Robbie. How did pickled cucumbers gain the distinctive moniker of pickles? You can pickle just about anything. What makes cucumbers so special? So that's a good point. Nobody, you know, you always say it's like pickled onions, pickled carrots, pickled celery, but pickled cucumbers are just pickles. Why?
Well, did pickles become a thing with the pickled cucumbers, or was there something else pickled before?
So you think that
that's my question.
So you're saying that, you think that pickles, that cucumbers might have been the first thing that was pickled?
And I think, and I don't know. I'm asking.
Yeah,
and,
I don't know.
And after that, the process of pickling, making a pickle, it gets called pickling or whatever. And so you have the pickled eggs and the pickled.
I have the answer.
Okay.
Cucumbers were the first food to be pickled. Around 2030 BC in the Tigris Valley, the ancient Mesopotamians and Indians began pickling cucumbers to preserve them and enhance their flavor. So that's why. There we go. Now we know the answer. Thank you, Google.
So they got, I guess, dill or something. Yeah. Found dill in the.
Yeah.
I've always wondered how people found out something was going to be good.
Well, it's just everything's an accident.
Like
the first time. I was thinking about, like, who's the first person who said, hey, I'm going to go squeeze that cow's, you know what, and whatever comes out.
What's going on inside that big thing dangling from the cow there?
I'm gonna go squeeze it, and if it, whatever comes out of it, I'm going to drink it.
And well, the thing
you're
is,
like, oh, it's actually then, good. It's good, guys.
Back then, I guess, you the process of, like, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but
yeah.
The process of, you know, feeding babies probably gave an idea that, hey, that is a lot like what the women have.
Yeah, I know. I see where you're going.
You know?
Well, also, like, who's the first one's like, see that bird over there that's around, running around clucking? I'm going to kill it. I'm going to pluck all the flowers off, the feathers off of it, and then I'm going to eat whatever's underneath those feathers.
Well, the idea was, like, we got to eat something.
So go get that little bird over there. Yeah, I guess.
Exactly. Well, the birds, you've said birds are fake.
A good point. Chickens are real.
But you eat chicken all the time.
Well, maybe chicken something else. I don't know what's going on.
Crows are not real.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
And crows, sparrows, robins, not real. Chickens, real. Turkey, real. Dalton Lee asked, I messaged my Ole Miss friends Saturday night to see how they were doing, and I was instantly berated. Did I deserve this, or are they lashing out? Let me get this straight, Dalton. You reached out in a friend's time of need, and they were cruel to you? They were lashing out, obviously. Why would that's awful. Who would do such a thing, Robbie?
I hear way too many people talking about their Ole Miss friends.
That's a good point.
And it's always followed up by them being absolutely terrible.
Maybe.
There's way too many Ole Miss friends out there is the problem.
You got to stop with the Ole Miss friends. Also, what would you have bought with all that NIL money they spent this past season? So what would you have bought with $15 million, Robbie?
I would never do anything again.
Yeah, $15 million is enough to live. Yeah.
I've thought about that before. Like, what would I do if I won the lottery?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have a clue what I would spend it on.
Yeah.
I would pay off my house immediately, and I would buy other things for my house. I would probably get another house at a remote location somewhere, maybe Nashville, a house. I might have a house in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
We give a lot of money to the church. Would it be bad to give lottery money to the church?
Well, they would take it. I'll just go ahead and tell you. They would just be like, absolutely, thank you for doing that.
My mom and dad, they might say, we don't want your blood money.
Well, in that case, you tell them, well, I'm going to find a church that does want it, and you can go look at their nice steeple that I put on there. You know?
I got this money from the Grove Collective. They decided to just get rid of it instead of giving it to players.
Yeah. Right now, it's looking like the Grove Collective should have taken that $15 million and let it ride on the craps table. They could have doubled up.
Hey, did you think that I wasn't able to see it. I was on the other end of it yesterday. I wasn't able to see the reaction as much. Did you think that Richard was ready to kill you yesterday or have you fired?
As soon as I popped up on screen, he looked at me and he gave me a look like he was confused for a second, and then it clicked and he just rolled his eyes at me.
And he was no-selling you completely.
He no-sold me completely. That's why I just took
it. He was no-selling that you were even on the show.
Yeah.
When you would speak up, he just kept going. Right.
He wanted nothing to do with it. So
he's had enough.
If they keep giving me memeable moments, I will continue to make jokes about them. I just go ahead and tell you that. So, you know, they lose to Oklahoma, and Ulysses Bentley comes out there with no shirt on and does an interview like, I may be shirtless on the next Sports Talk Mississippi. I'm just saying.
Can you show up in, like, the Oklahoma, like, cowboy hat?
I'm gonna ride the Sooner Schooner into the studio. What are you talking about?
Like, get you one of those pop guns, the little things that had like the ball that would just shoot out of it, and pull it back into the string.
Yeah,
get you one of those.
There we go. We'll see. Well, who knows what I'll do next? Jarrett Reister asks, if your parents were superheroes, or one a hero and one a villain, and you got both of their powers, what two would you pick? Well, I'm picking Superman. That's the easy choice. Then I got to pick a woman. Like, do I just go
Wonder Woman? Woman?
But it's like her powers and Superman's powers kind of overlap. I don't get anything new out of her.
Well, one of them's got to be a villain.
Oh, one's got to be a villain.
So,
well, then we'll just go with Harley Quinn. She doesn't have any powers. Harley Quinn. She's a crazy person. But I got Superman's power, so I'm okay.
You're sticking with DC.
Yeah,
DC has the absolute best superheroes and supervillains, I think.
They have, which is crazy that Marvel outdid them in the movie world. So
it's the people in charge that screwed up.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I mean, Superman is the easy answer, because outside of Kryptonite, it's a superhuman being that is immortal. Again, basically outside immortal of Kryptonite.
Yeah.
You
want to go with Catwoman?
Eh.
Poison Ivy?
Poison Ivy's a good one.
You control plants now.
Yep.
That'd be awesome. Just like, think about it. Like, you know, nobody knows that you've got this power, right? And you're just at the football game, and like Ole Miss has a receiver break free, and you just like call on the grass to trip him. Oh, yes. That's a shame.
Oh, what happened?
Quarterback just drops back.
A piece of side vine just jumped up there and
quarterback drops back to pass. He just trips because the grass encircles his ankles. That's actually a great idea. I'm changing my answer to Poison Ivy.
So I'm watching The Penguin, which is one of the best shows. I don't feel like I'm over exaggerating. It's one of the best shows I've seen in a while.
Uh-huh.
It's really good. Character development is awesome. It's not even like, it doesn't even feel like a super, like that world. Like, it doesn't feel like a super villain, superhuman thing. The Penguin, if you've seen The Batman, which you have, is almost like a mafia type, like this in the Falcone family. And
right.
The Penguin is played by Colin Farrell, which is one of the most amazing characters I've ever seen, like transformation wise.
Mm-hmm.
He started off as like a driver for the family. He's kind of worked his way up. He's almost like a Tony Soprano type character to me. But I'm kind of confused on what she is, but Sophia Falcone in this is really good. I don't know if she's a villain, but she just has this, like, she's growing into this character that I think is going to be really intriguing as this thing goes on. I don't know if I would pick her, but she's growing on me a lot.
All right. I need to go check it out for sure.
You've got to see it. You will enjoy it, I promise you. It's not one of those things that I think that I want to see your reaction on it. I think you will like it.
Okay. Let's see here. our friend Sarthak Sharma. First off, congratulations. Had a baby boy over the weekend. New bulldog in the world. So congrats to him.
Handsome young man.
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that head of hair.
That's a lot of hair.
That's a lot of hair. That's a lot
it
of hair.
It took a while for my little girl to get the hair she got.
Yeah. For the rumblings, do we need to make a change at defensive coordinator now? Seems like we're already losing the few commits we had. What are you going to do? You can't hire a coach in the middle of the season like this. So no. You got to ride it out.
Play it out, but it to me, after the results of yesterday, and I was already kind of torn on it. After the results of yesterday, I don't see a way forward with some of this defensive staff. I just don't. I don't know how you're going to be able to convince players in the transfer portal and in the current class to come to Mississippi State. I mean, it's just there's nothing to sell right now on the defensive side. Offense, you have Jeff Lebby's offense to sell. You have an exciting young quarterback. What do you have on defense to sell at this point? So, I don't know.
I'm with you on that. Steve Mormon asks, has Vanderbilt now reached the point that no matter who they're playing for the rest of the season, you and I have to legitimately discuss the outcome of their game every week in the pick'em? You know, you would say yes, except for this week. We didn't because they're playing Ball State. We just said they're going to win.
True.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Papa Crawdad, we're going to start a wrestling promotion. Pick one to run our creative department. Bruce Pritchard, Paul Heyman, Eric Bischoff, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels. This is an easy, easy, easy question.
Paul H and Shawn Michaels?
No, Paul Heyman.
To run the – well, he did do a really good job with SmackDown in the early 2000s when he took
was
over.
Great. He was great creatively at ECW. He just ran out of money.
But – my thing is, like, Triple H and Shawn Michaels are pretty much running the company now.
Oh, I agree. They're doing a good job. But Paul Heyman, to me, is the greatest wrestling mind we've had in quite some time. I would go with Paul Heyman.
He is really good. Had he had the financials, ECW would have been probably still going.
Yeah. He's talked about that before. Like, one night stand. He's like, you know, he told Bischoff, he's like, you notice it's not me with my tail between my legs at a WCW event. Like, he just didn't, he couldn't compete with the money. If he could have, they would have easily won.
Look at what he did with Steve Austin. Like, it, and I think most of it was just, hey, go be yourself.
Yeah.
Go say whatever you got on your chest. And nobody else was willing to do that for him. But Steve Austin was, we've talked about it last week, he was not Stone Cold at WCW. Before that, he had done nothing that kind of drew you to him. I mean, I liked the Hollywood Blondes, but it wasn't Stone Cold.
Right.
And this was kind of his, like, he became creative by going to ECW. And that was kind of what Paul did, was like, he let people just do their thing. And he had some good input as well.
Yeah.
He's a genius. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Brogan Fairchild, rank these fake bands from movies. Spinal Tap, from This is Spinal Tap. Stillwater, from Almost Famous. Wild Stallions, from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey. The Blues Brothers, and then Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem from the Muppet movie. These are good bands. Wild Stallions is last, though. It's just the two of them. Come on.
They weren't any good.
Yeah, they weren't good. So
Blues Brothers is number one for me.
I agree.
And then Spinal Tap.
Yep. I'm with you.
And Stillwater.
There we go. And then Dr. Teeth.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Matthew Watkins, why are you so sure that State should spring in a transfer quarterback for next year? What quality quarterback would come to State knowing they'd have to beat out Shapen and MVB? State fans have got to get past this line of thinking. All right, you got to get past this idea of we've already got one guy, why would another guy come in? Ole Miss didn't do that. They went out and got Spencer Sanders. And look, he didn't play, but he was there. And if something had happened to Dart, they had a quality guy there. You just got to find a guy who's willing to come in and compete, and you make his NIL deal good enough that he's happy. But they need to go get a proven guy just in case. Unless MVP the rest of the way continues to improve, and there's just no doubt that he's the guy going into next year.
If Shapen stays, which right now it looks like that's a possibility, but if he stays, I don't think you have to go out. I don't think you will get a proven guy out of the portal. I mean, I would shoot for it, but I don't think you're going to get a proven guy.
You think
But
you
maybe
get
you can get
like a
a
Jack
guy
Abraham
that's,
guy?
I think you could do that. And that puts you in a really good spot. I wouldn't break the bank on a quarterback in the transfer portal, just to have one to come in for competition or whatever. I wouldn't overpay for one, especially if you have Blake Chapin. Now, if you don't have Blake Chapin, you have to go out there and get a guy like Blake Chapin that can come in and compete, because you can't be in a position where, Blake Chapin gets, I mean, Michael Van Buren gets hurt and you're turning it over essentially to Kamario Taylor.
Right.
Because, I mean, and th this is assuming that Chris Parson enters the transfer portal. I have no intel on that, but just judging by how football
Be
and sports
surprised if he
are at this
didn't.
point,
Yeah.
yeah.
Also from Matthew, were you a bigger WCW or WWF fan? And when did you realize it was the end for WCW? I was a bigger WCW fan. What about you?
Same. I'm kind of surprised that you said that,
I was.
because
I made
that
the
was
switch
the end of your
early.
college time.
I made the switch kind of early to WWF. Like I got into Austin real early and The Rock, but I loved Nitro, man. I went to two Nitros in Memphis. I loved the Outsiders. They were my favorites. I
To be
loved.
honest, Nitro was cooler
It
for like
was.
97, 98.
Yeah, it was. When did I realize it was the end? When they brought Russo out, that's when you're like, okay. Like he had always been behind the scenes, and so I think at that point I knew I was like, this isn't going to last much longer.
There's no doubt that WCW was bigger for like an R age group. WCW was much bigger. It was you had the NWO was just really cool, especially when Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, like, they were so cool. And that you had the Wolfpack come along. Like, what they were doing was really cool. And then it just got, I think whenever they started adding, like, they had the NWO like B team,
Yeah, it
basically.
was just too much.
Like, that group was that was too much,
Yeah.
like you said. And
When it was,
then
like,
WWF was
again,
kind of like,
go ahead.
for when I'm in elementary school, WWF was like kind of unspoken. Like, we couldn't really watch that unless we were alone, and most of the time we weren't. So it was kind of like, it's pretty cool. Like, they're doing DX and stuff, and they're basically like TV 18, and we didn't really, we talked about that, but it was kind of an unspoken thing. WCW was something we could all watch, and it was cool at the same time. So that was really big for about a year and a half. And then the B team stuff, Russo, like the Viagra on a pole match, and everybody started moving away from that. And it was Stone Cold and Vince really kind of grabbed everyone's attention. And that became what everybody watched. Like, 90, 99 is when things really turned.
Wade Jones asked another sort of either or question with Ole Miss. Would you rather lose the rest of their states? Would you rather state lose the rest of their games and then but beat UMass? So state would be 2-9 coming into the Egg Bowl and then beats Ole Miss to go not to go 3-9, or win the rest and lose to Ole Miss, but not knowing if they make the playoffs. So then in that scenario, state would finish 6-6. So they would beat A&M, Arkansas, UMass, Tennessee, and Missouri, but lose to Ole Miss. I
I
gotta
would take that.
you gotta take the 6-6 there.
Well, right now, like you say, you don't know. I mean, right now, we feel confident Ole Miss is going to lose another game or two.
Yeah. And
So
I feel very confident Ole Miss is gonna lose to Georgia.
I would take that
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah.
without any questions being
Yeah.
asked, because
It
nobody
would hurt.
thinks
I
we're
would
going to
hate
beat Ole
losing the
Miss
Egg Bowl,
anyways.
especially you're talking about you've won five straight. You're like, man, they got a lot of momentum. They could win this game. It would hurt to lose that game, but to go 6-6 would be fantastic at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So, Brooks Harris, longtime listener, first time rumbler. Which one of us will be the first to ask our strength coach about his legendary interview with Sacha Baron Cohen? I mean, if we get to talk to him maybe once a year, so I guess next year we might do it, but I
I
doubt
talked to
it.
him off the record about
Oh. Yeah, off the record.
it. He's like, I had no clue what this was. Like, the dude just like showed up in the locker room, like asking, I think, like if they were gay or something like that. It was interesting.
I'm sure. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. But if you're not, go hit up one of our great steakhouses around the state of Mississippi. You literally cannot go wrong with any of them. They're all cooking great beef. They're all cooking fantastic steaks the way you want them. If you want a steak this weekend, get one. I think I might do the same as well. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. If you are in the mood for some awesome food, you need to go to Two Brothers. What a great menu. I haven't been. We were supposed to go last week, Robbie. You let me down. I blame you.
Where are we supposed to go?
I think we had agreed to do that. So can we go this
It's
week?
my fault. We never set a date, a
Let me tell you why
time.
it's your fault. Because you don't live in Starkville. I wish you just lived here. Why can't you just be my neighbor? The house next door to me was open. You could have just moved right in.
Because everything's way more expensive in Starkville than where I live.
I will help you. We
No,
will
you
open
won't.
a we will open a lemonade stand, and we'll make extra
You
money out.
won't help me.
I'll sell feet pics just to make money for you. Dude, I'll do anything.
There's a market out there, I
Oh,
promise
there
you.
probably is, which is the grossest thing imagined. I'm sure that's exactly what Two Brothers wanted on their ad read. Also, let's talk about the older brother, Fancy Sandwiches. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother, two of our favorite restaurants in town. Two places Robbie and I will have to go eat at very, very soon. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. I don't know what just happened there. Advantage Business Systems will deliver it to you. They've been doing it for 50 years. 50. Whenever you need any kind of technology for your business, when you need copiers, printers, when you need computers and laptops, whatever it is, talk to Advantage Business Systems. They have great name brands. They have great products. They have great prices. But most importantly, they have service after the sale. And that's where they really stand out. They are going to take care of you long after you make that purchase. So you know that when you walk out the door and you install your new product, that you're going to be taken care of for years and years to come. Call Advantage Business Systems today, 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, you need to go to Maroon & Co. Maroon & Co. has the best selection of MSU gear in the city of Starkville. They've got stuff that you can't get anywhere else. They've got all the logos that you want, everything you're looking for. It's right there at Maroon & Co. Don't forget to use our promo code THUNDER15, 15% off regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the games this fall, head over to Maroon & Co. All right, Robbie, this one's from Fort Polk. Half of my church population down here in Brandon are Ole Miss fans, including my pastor. Real quick, I have to ask. I don't know. I think you know who I'm going to ask about here, Robbie. Is your pastor Guy Odom? I need to know if it's him. Ford, let me know.
I thought that Brandon was relatively Mississippi State friendly.
It's a state-friendly town, but this guy just, Ford, you've picked the wrong church, is what I can say. Would it be okay to wear my dogs win again shirt to church on Sunday after the Egg Bowl if state happens to pull it out? I'm a button down and dress pants churchgoer. So that's a t-shirt, is he talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know about a t-shirt.
You might have to save that for Wednesday night prayer meeting.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see the different vibes like churches give off. Like that's me too. Like when I go to church, I'm wearing a polo and slacks,
Yeah.
dress shoes. And then you go to Pine Lake and you have people wearing, so I haven't been to Pine Lake, but I imagine there's some designer jeans and
Yeah.
nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, like it's like, what are the rules? Well, there are rules, but it's just interesting to see the difference.
Had somebody on Twitter here who's just not understanding what I'm doing here. That's kind of annoying. We'll see how it goes. Also from Ford, knowing what we know now, after Mike Leach passes away, would you have tried to hire Dion? He'd been at Colorado maybe 3 days. What do you think to that? Do you th I, I could go either way on that. Like, State would obviously be in a better spot right now, but I don't know long term if that's the case or not.
They would have hired Deion after Leach passed.
Right. So he'd already taken the Colorado job. Would he have turned around and said, I want to go to Mississippi State instead?
I don't think so. Now, if this would have happened before he took the Colorado job, I think he could have gotten him. But I don't know. I mean, I would much rather have Deion in charge than Zach Arnett.
Yeah. It's a very interesting question. I mean, State right now would have Travis Hunter. They'd have Shedeur Sanders.
And a lot more. I mean, if he's able to – I mean, I think that Colorado is a good spot. But if he's able to get that kind of talent to Colorado, he would have been able to get – I mean, he got it to Jackson State. He got players like Travis Hunter, and his son would be quarterback at Mississippi State. I mean, in my opinion, one of the best quarterbacks, top three quarterbacks in the country.
Yeah.
State would be in a pretty good spot, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. Matthew Anthony asks, how has the transfer portal impacted the offensive and defensive lines? Better to build through high school recruits? I think on the offensive line, yes. You can use the portal to fill a hole here and there, but you want three or four of your starters to have been guys who have been in your program and been developed a little bit. Defensive line is the opposite, though. I think you got to go out year after year and get transfers there.
What I'll say is I don't care if it's transfer portal, junior college, high school, whatever, it needs to be guys that have played together for multiple years.
Yeah.
For the most part. I think you can plug and play a couple of guys, but if you look at college football, a lot of the teams that have overhauled their offensive line with a portal, it's not great. I don't think Ole Miss's offensive line's just
No, it's been bad super. This year.
State's is not good.
Yeah.
I just think it's really tough, no matter where they're coming from, to just throw people out there that have never played together. The offensive line is a unit that's got to be cohesive.
Yeah, I agree. Mangum Cafe. I'm sorry, no, also from Matthew. Who helps Roman and Jimmy moving forward? I mean, they're gonna mess around with it, but Jay's going to reunite with them. There's no question.
Jay will get in there.
Yeah, no question. Mangum Cafe, how is Redbox still in business? How many DVDs did you rent during the 2010s? Quite a few. I don't know how they're still in business, though. Is that like America's Mattress Firm? It's actually a mafia front. There's some money laundering scheme.
Yeah, that's what their money just continues to pour through that.
Yeah. If a kid was
Family Steamer.
Yeah. If a kid was 9 or 10 in 2010, was that the best time to grow up as a State fan? You know, if you were 9 or 10, 97 through like 2000 would have been really good too.
Yeah, that was my time.
Yeah.
I was eight, as good as it got in
football, the best team in the West. You had two College World Series. You're coming off the Final Four, so, you know, basketball's not great at that time, but they're starting to build back a little bit. I think that's the best time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That
2010's basketball.
That was a great time.
Awful.
It was, like, but
2010.
Let's say like 96. We'll put 96 in there with the Final Four.
Oh, if you want to go 96 to 2000, that's as good as you're going to get. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, think about 2010 baseball. Like, that's Cohen's second year off. So, yeah.
It wasn't until late 2011 that baseball started to show some promise.
Yeah, exactly. Also, what are our favorite 3-6 Mafia songs? Hey, Robbie, list a 3-6 Mafia song for me, and I'll just say it's my favorite.
They did Mark Henry song.
I guess that's it then. Somebody's going to get hurt tonight?
Somebody's going to get their...
Yeah, Hall of Pain. Yeah, okay. I don't listen to 3-6 Mafia. So. No offense to them. I'm sure they're great, but... Just not.
I like a few of their songs. Some of them I can't name on this.
Oh, okay.
Podcast.
Rob Montgomery, am I overthinking how potentially huge it was that Lebby trusted MVB in the middle of the second, despite the struggles, when all the Twitter coaches were ready to bring in Parson? Then he proved Lebby right by hitting Craver for the bomb, followed by that TD pass to Kelly, and from that point on, it felt like the team and the fan base is rejuvenated. What I would say, and you tell me if you disagree, I don't think you're overthinking how big that was, but I also don't think that there was ever a thought in Lebby's mind to pull Van Buren out of the game.
Yeah. And that's just a knee-jerk reaction from fans. Anytime somebody's struggling, it's get him out.
Yeah.
And that's just not how this works. You can't just constantly be changing things out. You got to stick with somebody. And this is his guy. He's not going to get rid of Michael Van Buren unless things just are just absolutely awful, which at this point I just don't see it happening. But that's his guy, and he's going to stick with him. It was a slow start, but it was, to me, it felt like it was clearly him being a little jittery from playing in front of that crowd, because it was a different kind of atmosphere than what it was at Texas.
No doubt. This picture that somebody tagged you in on Facebook is fantastic, Robbie. I'm just excited to know that you were in an advanced math class.
What?
You've been tagged in a photo on Facebook from 2006. And somebody,
is it like a memory?
I guess so. Yeah, this person said, "Oh God, we're so old now," and I can see you in the background there.
I don't know how I was in advanced math, because I barely passed math in high school. I guess the statute of limitations have moved from then, but I had to basically bribe my teacher with my mom's homemade bread.
Let me tell you something. You can get me to come mow your grass for some of that homemade bread.
I brought him a piece of the bread, and he was like, "All right, I'll pass you."
There you go. Our friend Nathan Kelly, who had the better drum solo, Garth in Wayne's World or Dale Doback in Step Brothers?
Garth, when he's in like backstage music or whatever, whatever that version is.
Thanks. I like to play. it's Garth.
And then like Wayne was getting ready to play Stairway to Heaven. Yeah.
No, Stairway denied. That's a true thing, evidently, to you. When you go play a guitar store, they will not let you play Stairway.
But they'll let you play Wonderwall.
Yeah, well, you know. Jay in Baltimore, most do not have the brain power of the Thunder and Lightning host and struggle with the laws of physics. Rank these on explainability to the common man. Power to lift a jumbo airplane off the ground. A 100,000 pound, that's probably not accurate, aircraft carrier stays afloat. That thing's probably a lot more than 100,000 pounds. That's probably like a lot more than that. High-speed train stays on the rail at 200 miles per hour. Have you ever seen The Family Guy where Brian and Quagmire go to dinner and he finds out that Quagmire really hates him?
Yes.
So he's like, "Wow, I bet," he's talking about being a pilot. "I bet that's really interesting. How do those things work?" And Quagmire goes, "You want me to explain how a plane works?" I don't know why that's just so funny.
That might be it.
I think it's easier to explain how a plane works than it is how an aircraft carrier stays afloat and how the train doesn't come off the rails. I mean, these might be ranked correctly.
I will say, like, the train, like, that's just kind of force and,
yeah,
I guess it would be kind of like magnetic energy.
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like if you're on a roller coaster and you take the loop.
Yeah.
And your first thought is, "I'm going to fall out of this thing when I go upside down," or whatever. And it's actually the exact opposite. It almost prevents you from doing it. It's called centrifugal force.
Right. Right.
That basically the force is so strong that it pushes you into the track that it doesn't come off the tracks. So it's really hard to fathom whenever you just start thinking about it, but it makes perfect sense when you start thinking, I guess, in that area.
I get what you're saying.
I'm not good at physics, math.
No,
I'm anything not. Really.
No.
Walking science, board. English.
School. Walking Bully says, if Dan comes back this week, is he cheered or booed? I would hope cheered. He would be cheered.
He would be cheered loudly, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's going to get a really nice ovation.
Yeah. Is there a direct link between State losing every week and me screwing up the Strange Brew read every Monday? I don't think so, because I've already the game's already been played.
It's true.
So yeah, it's not on me. Jason Dice, friend of ours, asks, you are in charge of a wrestling pay-per-view event and you have to create the card. Who are you picking to wrestle on your event? Doesn't matter which company or brand they come from, and they can be retired or current. Oh, my goodness, Jason, this is a whole show. I can't.
That's loaded.
I can't. I mean, just give me what's your main event. I know what I want mine to be. You tell me what you want.
Okay. Well, I mean, are we putting people in their, like, in every match that happens, are you getting that version of the fan base, like that time frame? Because it might differ from time to time. I feel like Stone Cold and The Rock would probably be universal. Don't you? Like, I think everybody would enjoy Stone Cold and The Rock headlining.
If you're getting me like WrestleMania 17, WrestleMania 16, Rock versus Stone Cold, yeah, that's probably the best quality main event you can have.
I mean, if you go back to 19,
but what I'm saying here is you want to have matches that have already happened. You don't want to make like dream matches.
Well, no, I mean I would, but I'm just talking about like whenever The Rock and Stone Cold met, like it was about as big as it gets. I mean, I guess you go, you know, when Hogan and Andre the Giant, if that was to happen today, I don't know how many people would care about it, but in 1987 or 88, whenever that was, that was the biggest thing that's ever happened in wrestling. And Andre the Giant could barely move.
Yeah.
I would say, like, you know, to me, an intriguing match would be Seth Rollins versus Shawn Michaels. That would be like a Ricky the Dragon, Macho Man type match at WrestleMania 3.
Yeah.
It would steal the show. Them two at their prime.
I was thinking in terms of like current wrestlers. Like, I can make an incredible card. Don't get me wrong.
Okay. Well, for the sake of it being current wrestlers,
I want Seth Rollins versus Kenny Omega.
Okay.
That would be excellent. That would be an unbelievable match. And then like Cody versus, have you watched whatchamacallit yet? Russell Dream?
No, I'm not. Did you order it?
Yeah, but Bleacher Report's not doing pay-per-view anymore.
YouTube is?
I did it on ppv.com. Jennifer, my wife, actually got me a discount code for that. So I'll go to that and I'll send you my login information. But
okay.
Do you know what happened?
Is it the same price?
It was $39 because I got a discount.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's a little cheaper.
Yeah, I'll watch it tonight.
Do you know what happened?
I know what happened in the last match, at least. Okay. At least the outcome.
What I was going to say is like Moxley versus Cody isn't super exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, I mean, I would like to see it. I mean, I think it'd be a good match, but like, it's just not super exciting.
Cody versus Kenny.
No, if I want Cody, I want Cody versus MJF.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can do that. So you're wanting like an AEW versus WWE.
Well, that's what I would want to see right now. You know,
some dream matchups that aren't going to happen right now.
I guess if I'm going to put Moxley in, I want him versus Reigns.
Yeah.
You know, I want that Shield match up there. Or do we get a triple threat? Oh, they did that in AEW.
I would rather it be Reigns versus Moxley, I think.
Yeah, Reigns versus Moxley.
Or Reigns versus Seth.
Well, Reigns versus Seth, they could do. They can do that in WWE. This isn't the same thing. So
yeah, but I think they should headline at some point.
They absolutely should. No, I don't disagree with you there. All right, let's move forward here. Brick Thomas, list of defensive coordinator states you go at. Man, I got to do that research. I don't have it right now. Do you guys use AI any? I have used it a couple times. It's fun. It's interesting, but it's also there's some like how deep does this go kind of thing with me. You know, I've seen the Terminator.
I have yet to do it. Did you see that that robot that Elon Musk is building that was like kicking a football the other day? Like, it's scary, man. I don't know. Why are we doing this?
I don't know why. It's like they hadn't seen these movies, man.
It was like, the robot can go shopping for you. It can do chores around the house. But, you know, eventually it's going to go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to kill everyone, and they're going to come together, and they're going to take over the world. Why do we want that?
I don't get it.
Why is Lane Kiffin trending?
I don't know. What did he do now?
I don't know. It just says he's trending.
Trending Kiffin latest. Hold on.
Do we have a TikTok?
I don't know. I don't know.
The Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame just released their new class. Did you see that?
I saw that, yeah.
Been getting emails about it, but really good group. Scott Barry, Steve Freeman, Mike Justice, Dexter McCluster, Derek Nix, Steve Reeves, Robbie Webb, and Mo Williams.
I'll be honest, I don't know who Steve Reeves is. Oh, he was a basketball coach at Delta State. He's the winningest basketball.
Steve Freeman is Mississippi State's representative.
Right. Brad Freeman's dad, former MSU football player, played in the NFL, and then a long time official in the NFL.
Mike Justice, incredible coach in the state of Mississippi, Louisville, Madison Central.
Yeah.
And then we know Derek Nix, Dexter McCluster from Ole Miss, Scott Barry.
Robbie Webb was a golfer at USM.
I did not know Robbie Webb or Steve Reeves.
Yeah, that's the only two I didn't know. That's a good class. Really good class. All right. Last one from Brick here. Would you rather go back and beat Arizona State or Toledo? Beat a good team or save yourself an embarrassing loss? I'm definitely picking Toledo. I can live with losing to Arizona State on the road.
Yeah.
Especially at this point where I've seen them play and they're not that bad.
Good. They're a good team.
I agree.
They beat Utah the other day.
Yeah. Sheldon Nations has gotten away from the SeaWorld questions and asked us, how are you using your recruiting hours on NCAA 25? So, I don't ever scout. I don't worry about it. I figure if you're a 4 or 5 star kid, you're going to be good enough playing for me that it won't be a problem. So I offer, and then after I offer, I tend to like put more into the 5 star kids, and then I just kind of go from there. And then when I lose players, if somebody commits to somewhere else, I try to find the next guy available that's interested. I'll usually end up taking in some 3 stars by the end, just because you got to fill some holes. I'll take a Mississippi kid there. Something like that. That's how I do it. I definitely recruit Mississippi hard. I try to get as many kids, the top kids from Mississippi as I can, and then work my pipelines. But I will also go outside of my pipeline. If there's a top prospect that I want, I will go get them if I can.
Yeah, I mean, I just got to be honest, man. I have not been able to get in this game.
Yeah. We're busy.
And maybe it's just because I just don't have time to play it.
This is not the time of year for us we don't have a lot of free time, believe it or not.
I got it late in the summer, and I just didn't have the time to, like, I got it like 2 weeks before football really ramped up. It just, it was too late.
Yeah.
I feel like I've like changed like the things I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I
still like to play.
Whenever I'm done, but I mean, like, not just like playing games. Like when I'm playing games now, I like the stories.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like I like to turn off my sports.
Yeah.
In my mind when I leave.
I get that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Kivas Wright. Did we watch Wrestle Dream? We'll have to wait for Robbie's thoughts on that. Rob Hadaway, please rank these following MSU 1-5 starts in our collective lifetimes, 2024, 2006, 2004, 2001, 1988. 88, I mean, they only won the one game. That's probably got to be last, right? Because I know how it finished.
Tekken 10.
Yeah, Tekken 10. 01 is probably the worst one. I don't know how I'm ranking these, but like 01, because that team came into the season preseason top 20.
Yes.
And I thought they were going to be really good.
Oh, they had some close losses, but they also had
some bad,
awful losses.
Yeah. 04, State beats Tulane in that first game, and I was like, okay, they're going to be all right. Kroom is going to come in here and get this going, and then they just fell apart. 04 also has Maine in it, so really bad.
But you beat Florida. You got a top 25 win.
You did, but that's after this start. We're only looking at the start here.
It starts. Okay, yeah.
And then 06 – I have very little recollection. That was the year they started out. They didn't score for like the first 10 quarters of the season, I think is correct. Let me double check that.
Unfortunately, Rob has sat through
most
of these games.
So 2006, let's see here. State starts off. Yeah, State gets shut out in the first two games. Then they didn't score until late in the second quarter against Tulane, who they lost to. They barely beat UAB. Then they get blown out by LSU and West Virginia. That team was miserable. They only scored 221 points in 12 games, so less than 20 points per game. That's a really awful one. This one is just so unusual, the way they've played and the way the season's gone so far.
And you have two – this one's last because you have two losses to top five teams where you were fairly competitive.
Yeah,
it's so weird. To me, this one is last. If you're ranking worst to best.
Yeah. So
88, like you said, I mean, that team
– Yeah.
Well, the only team they beat was La Tech the entire year.
No, it was Louisiana. That was back when Louisiana was an FC. Was that La Tech? Oh, you're right.
It was La Tech.
You're right.
It's Tech and
the year before that, they beat Louisiana. My bad. Yeah. And that team, I mean, they lost to Vanderbilt, but it was close. They lost to Georgia by 7. Florida, they lost by 17. They lose to Memphis by 21. That's gross. And they get blown out by a good USM team. So, but yeah. But then they didn't win again. So, all right. Where are we here? Also from Rob, would the Ric Flair woo make a better car horn or police siren?
Well, we had this question, very similar one. I think it was
something
Wade.
We talked about the car horn, but now he's
was it Wade that asked that?
I think so. Yeah.
Absolutely. The Ric Flair woo would be superior to just a.
No, but what he's asking here, would it be a better car horn or a police siren?
Oh, not would that would the police siren?
You imagine
be
getting pulled over. And you just hear behind you, woo, woo, woo.
That I mean, it kind of already is.
Yeah, it kind of is close to that, but now we're talking about it's real. I'm going police siren.
There you go.
All right, last one from Rob. Do you think Jelly Roll is ever going to go, hey, guys, can I just be Jason DeFord now instead of the silly name I picked 20 years ago? No, he's getting the branding is where it is now. So,
you know what's crazy is as you're reading that,
mm-hmm.
My buddy Nathan, who just asked a question a while ago, apparently he's listened to Jelly Roll on Joe Rogan.
Uh-huh.
And they've started crying listening to Fire and Rain by James Taylor.
Oh, well, there you go.
But yes, Jelly Roll is kind of a silly name.
Yeah. Brett.
Not kind of.
Yeah. Brett Christensen asks, more likely scenario, State beats Texas A&M this weekend, or Robbie doesn't play defense against Brian in the picks next week?
This is slander, Brett.
More slander? A lot of slander happening this year.
South Texas dog, is that you?
We've been slandered again. Also, if you could drop any former Mississippi State athlete in their prime onto a current Mississippi State team, who and why? I'm not doing football. You ready? We'll put Eric Dampier on this basketball team.
Oh, yeah. That's a complete team at that point.
Buddy, I just won the national title. I'm pretty sure I just won the national title right there.
Can you imagine him cleaning up Mississippi State's 3-point misses?
Oh my gosh, just unstoppable. So yeah,
and then people are going to have to account for him in the paint.
Yeah,
so you kick it out to it's basically Tierra McCowan, what she did in 2018 or whatever that year, or 17, whatever year that was, where she was just kicking it out and everybody was knocking down threes.
Yeah, who are you going with?
I don't know how much a football player changes this year's. Like, I want to get
most. Only one guy, yeah.
I want to get the most out of this opportunity. It would have to be, you know, it would have to be either a center, like you mentioned, Dampier, like maybe a Jarvis Bernardo or Charles Rhodes. Just for the sake of not picking the same guy you did. Or in women's basketball, if you had Tierra McCowan.
Yeah.
If you had Tierra McCowan on this year's team, I think that's a Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four type team, just because that's how dominant she is.
Yeah. That's a good call. That's a really good call. Where are we here? Perry Cafeteria. What happened to chain gang measurements? I miss them. You don't see them call for the chain gang very often anymore.
They're just moving. They're standing right on the line, and they're just moving them.
Yeah,
it's weird. Or have they just said like, "Hey, from here on out, we're not. If it's like an inch off, you know, we're just going to say that's a first down." Like, is that a new rule?
Yeah, we don't. I think know so. About? It feels like it. It feels like that's the case. Also from Perry Cafeteria, if you could choose a punishment for Kirby, but it had to be hilarious, what would it be? I'd like to see him barefoot in tattered Hulk clothes or in a visor with the Guy Fieri hair attached. Now, that would be funny if he had to wear that.
That would
visor.
Be funny.
That's actually pretty good.
Like he has to have, a mullet wig or something like that on under the visor instead of his current hair.
To coach dressed like Joe Dirt.
Yes, that would work.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Like Daisy Dukes and cowboy boots too.
I'm trying to church it up, Dirt.
Yeah, exactly. This is another question about the you playing defense on the picks.
I don't understand this.
Goodness gracious!
Like, I'm not. I ain't scared.
I just don't know what's going on here.
I ain't scared.
I didn't say you were scared. I said nothing. Joseph Dudgeon asks, who would win, Florida State or Mississippi State?
One more thing here. He talks about having the picks jotted down.
Oh, he's doing that thing.
You give me an opportunity to pick first. We rotate.
I do it on purpose so that just him reacting to my pick, me reacting to his pick.
I'm getting tired of a cafeteria talking smart to me. I'm getting tired of this.
I hear you. I hear you, buddy. All right, who would win between State and Florida State this year? You're thinking?
State has I feel like State is more stable right now at quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
But they can't stop anyone. And Florida State, at least they have a conference win at this point, I guess. And they beat a team that has been pretty good. I mean, I lean towards Florida State, but I think it would be a close game.
Agreed.
They didn't get killed by Clemson, I guess.
Yeah. What happened to Anson Lewis? Does he play football anymore? Who is Anson Lewis?
He's the wide receiver from Hattiesburg.
I know nothing about him.
Oak Grove.
Okay. Does he play football?
He was one of the guys that so he's wide receiver. He was one of the guys that was like on Mississippi State's board. They felt like they were close to getting a commitment. And then I think they took a couple other guys, and he's kind of fell off the board a little bit. I just think he's just not very high on the board. I mean, he's still playing and everything, but yeah. I just don't know if they're recruiting him very hard.
Yeah. All right. Dugout Dog asks, would you rather have $1 million in cash or have free Uber Eats for life? I mean, I'd take the million.
$1 million.
Yeah, it's really not.
I don't have access to Uber Eats that often. I live.
Good point. Where you live?
In the woods.
The only thing if I have free Uber Eats, could I use it? Could I use it as like, could I become like a third party in that? Like people order through me and then I just order it from Uber Eats and I just put an upcharge on there?
I don't know. You have to ask.
That's like a lot of work.
You have to ask. Like I think Scott Walters does that.
Yeah. Well, I'll just stick with $1 million. Also, would you rather have $1 million or a chance to have $10 million if you can win the Super Bowl at quarterback with a 28-point lead at halftime? I mean, that's an interesting one.
Can you hold the lead?
We're just going to run the football.
Your defense is involved in this too, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Like your defense is going to have opportunities to get them off the field. And it's going to be tough to – I mean, I know the Patriots came back from 28-3, but
– they have Brady. This team has me, has me working against them. I don't know. I don't think I could hold a 28-point lead. In the NFL, teams are just too good because we're never going to score.
You're not going to be able to pass it.
I can't pass. Can you imagine if they're like – after like the third series, they're like, all right, just put 10 guys in the line of scrimmage, and I just float a little pop pass over them.
They'd be so pissed.
I'll be so mad. Couple more here. Reed Green, can you explain the disastrous JUCO recruits Jackie recruited in further detail, please? I know his last season I was 6. I know they were awful, but I didn't know why. The bad evaluations, off-the-field problems, or a mix of the two. One of the main reasons was, for a long time, State – and like Kansas State were the only two teams in the country that really recruited JUCOs in Mississippi.
Snyder.
And yeah, Bill Snyder. And that was it. And then all of a sudden people were like, wait a minute, State's gotten really good doing this. Maybe we need to go in there. And so JUCO recruiting became more popular. And then it just became State stopped recruiting high schools for them. I mean, his 2001 class, I think State has, or has like, of the 25 signees, I think like 16 or 17 of them are JUCO. It just didn't work. You got to build through your high school. So,
yeah, that's the mindset you still have to have too. I mean, I just think that you need to take JUCOs like where you need them, like a position that you desperately need somebody that's in between a high school and transfer portal guy, and they need to be good. I mean, they need to be guy like you shouldn't recruit a JUCO guy that's developmental.
Yeah,
you should be recruiting a JUCO guy that is an immediate impact. Kevontae Henry, mm-hmm. Tony Mitchell, the guys, you know, Xavion Hardy. Hopefully, they can keep two out of those three, but those are the guys you recruit. You don't recruit developmental JUCO players that only have 2 years to play, and you've still got to, they still haven't reached, you know, anywhere close to their potential. Like, you need to get guys that are looking like they're ready to contribute.
Yeah. Last one here from Reed. My second question is, if Army and Navy both enter their game at 11-0, which is the week after the AAC championship, how would that work out? Well, it doesn't work out that way, because if they're both 11-0, they're going to play each other in the AAC championship.
It is so weird that they do that.
Yeah. I don't think they thought that through very well.
And that has a chance to happen.
It does. It has a great chance. Also, if they're both 11-0, that means they both beat Notre Dame. They're probably both going to the playoff at that point.
Do they have divisions?
I don't know. Let me look. AAC standings.
I'm not up to date on my AAC.
They do not have divisions. So right now, Army is 5-0 in the conference. Navy is 3-0. There are three other teams that are undefeated in the conference: North Texas, Tulane, and Charlotte.
That is awesome. I love the fact that Army and Navy are both good.
That's fantastic. I love seeing it. It's going to be great to see how this all pans out.
I used to play with the service academies on NCAA. Like, I would leave Mississippi State with Dan Mullen and go win national championships with the Air Force. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
It is. All right. I think this is our last one here. And that's from Andrew Norwood, who says, if you could promote an MSU club team to fully sanction and support its sport, regardless of Title X, what would it be? Also, name your top. Well, that's two different questions. So let's do the first one here.
I don't know.
So I can have
Title X.
Do what now?
You said Title X.
Did I say Title X?
Yes.
That is entirely my bad. Title IX. Why did I say Title X? It's IX. Mm-hmm. All right, Title IX. The answer. It's either men's soccer or lacrosse.
Men's soccer.
Yeah, I guess that's probably it.
Yeah, I'd love to say men's. What about like a volleyball, like a men's volleyball team? Have you ever seen those?
Yeah, I have.
They're fun to watch.
They're cool.
The ball is just flying. Yeah, I mean, it's
ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know how those guys don't get hurt. Also, name your top three cold weather foods.
Chili number one.
Would you say chili number one?
Yep.
Yeah. Chicken noodle soup.
Okay. Gumbo. Potato soup for me.
Okay.
Is up there.
All right. Gumbo is my third one.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. That was easy. All right. That's all for today's show. Like I said, tomorrow's show will be a little basketball heavy as Robbie wraps up things over at SEC Media Days with the ladies. And we'll talk some hoops, talk some football. We'll get some Texas A&M stuff. We'll talk a little 2014 MSU at some point this week, too. As they're starting to getting ready to honor that team this Saturday. Guys, have a great Wednesday. We'll be back with you on Thursday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.